The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Why, hello there. Have you needed a welder? Have you looked at buying a welder? No need. Here's your chance to win one. Rose Metalworks and Eastwood Tools have decided to sponsor the next giveaway item for the Drop with Frank and Brian podcast. Their next giveaway item is going to be a MIG 140 welder from Eastwood Tools. All you have to do is go to livelifecustom.com or grindertv.com, spend at least $5, and it's going to get you at least one entry for the MIG 140. I want to thank Frank and Brian for wanting to team up for this giveaway, and I also want to thank Eastwood Tools for supporting our cause. Thank you for helping the truck scene, and thank you for supporting all our small businesses. So if you guys want a chance at a MIG 140 Eastwood welder, make sure you spend at least $5 at both their websites. Who knows? You might be able to finally finish your project. See you guys.
You recording?
I think so, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I restarted the Rode and downloaded the new thing, and then when I went to open it, nothing was there, so I had to add the mic and do all that.
Oh, wow. What do you mean you had to re-download it?
Update it.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, no, I'm good. We're all good. So what's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing is going on with you?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
I'm like all over the place.
Yeah, I know. Same. I've had a really busy couple weeks getting ready for our trip coming up next week. Softball stuff. Lots of stuff going on. And plus, I'm going to a Dodger game today. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right, huh?
Yeah, yeah. This is the last one of the season.
Did you see that thing I sent you where they're selling dirt?
Yeah.
Dude. Because I saw that Oakland, obviously, like the last game of the stadium mm-hmm. is up there. And there was a groundskeeper and people were handing him a water bottle and he was like shoveling dirt for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people in the comments were just like, Dodgers, that's $150 at Dodger Stadium right
yeah.
there. And
yeah,
I saw
that.
I saw something about it and I was like, there's no way that's real. And mm-hmm. I was like, it had to have been like a goof. And I Googled it and I was like, there's no way that people are buying dirt.
People buy some strange things. I know of like basketball cards, all sorts of sports cards where they take jerseys and cut them up and give you a little piece of the player's jersey, like yeah. in the card. So I don't know, sports memorabilia fans are very interesting.
They are. And it's more of not the fans that is like the interesting part, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, imagine the meeting that they had. You know what I mean? Like all of the guys are around and yeah. they're just like, how can we make some extra bucks on Ohtani?
Yeah.
Like, I know what we could do. Let's sell dirt.
Sell the dirt. And it's expensive. You said it was like $150 or something like that, right?
Yeah. Like, granted, I think you get like a little plaque or whatever, but it's still yeah. like you're buying dirt.
Yeah.
And like a jersey is just different. If it's the same thing, but it's like trash.
Right.
But it feels like different because you're buying like something that was like
yeah.
on the player, not stepped on by the player.
It's almost like, I don't know what the right word is, but we're literally like worshiping the ground this guy walks on.
Yeah. And it just dirt, the word dirt. It just,
yeah. Dirt. Yeah.
It's just dirt. And you're,
it's very
just
funny. Well, the guy who, you know about the guy who caught his 50th home run ball.
Yeah. Make a deal yet?
Oh, you know, he said no. The Dodgers offered him $300,000 for it.
Yeah, I would have told him. I would have said
get lost.
Yeah, especially after what happened with the
$3 million ball.
Was it who? What happened with the Dodgers? What ball was it where they took it from that lady? Security.
That was I know. I that might have been his first home run. I think that was his first home run as a Dodger.
Yeah.
And they took the ball away from her and there was that whole like controversy right there with the security and everything like that.
Yeah.
But rightfully so, that guy with the 50th ball said, you know, get lost.
Yeah.
And it's going to go up for auction tomorrow, this Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, he's putting it up for auction?
He's putting it up for auction, and the bidding is starting at $500K, but they figure it's going to go for anywhere from $3 million or more.
I would see how much the Dodgers make on selling dirt and make sure it's double what they sold on the dirt, so they lose all the money for selling people dirt.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm fine with that. That's capitalism is at its finest right there.
It is. Yeah, it's so funny because we, you know, like... dog on these big companies and stuff like that, but then we're just like, we do the same thing with sports. Like it's like, yeah, it's like we're okay with that, but then, you know, whatever I'm trying to say, but it's just like
you want to know something interesting about the whole ball situation if you want to get in the mud about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to ask yourself, how do they know that that's the ball, right? Because he hit it in the stands. They didn't authenticate it, because usually that's what they'll do if either like a guy comes up and he gets his first MLB hit, or he gets his pitcher gets his first MLB strikeout, they'll call for the ball, they'll throw it in the dugout, and they'll authenticate it right there. So you have to ask yourself, how do they know that that's a real ball? Well, they figure that out. So every time in that run that Otani was up to bat, they would change the balls out. They would give pre-authenticated balls. Wow. And mark them and stuff in case they were these home runs.
Yeah.
So it was, so when the guy caught it, it was already pre-authenticated. So it is the actual 50th home run ball.
Yeah.
Now the conspiracy rabbit hole thing is because there, you know, there's always, right? There's always something, right? It's not that this guy is the best baseball player to ever play the game. There has to be a caveat. Why, right? Oh, well, it's because, well, they were changing out these balls because obviously they're giving him juice balls.
Oh.
You know, but then again, like all conspiracies, it's rooted in some small sliver of truth. And the truth is the MLB is terrible at that. Like it is 100% a fact that they juice balls.
Yeah.
And they were juicing balls to try to make it more exciting, get more hits, get more home runs, get more fans. So again, it's rooted in this true thing. So
yeah,
it's all very interesting.
If 100% of the balls are juiced, then it just brings it back to a level playing field.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then the other thing is like, he still has to hit these balls. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're not just juicing one person's balls.
Right.
They're juicing all the balls.
Yeah. And like I'm saying, it's like, it's still an MLB pitch coming at him. He still has to be able to hit them. So there is a whole thing, just like everything else. But yeah.
Yeah. This is like when we're sitting on our couch with our pizza rolls and we're just like, yeah, you suck.
I know.
It's like, oh my. The worst player on the Chicago White Sox is
the best player.
Just run. Yeah. Want to run around like anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the way. Same with basketball too. The worst basketball
any
player.
Any professional sports, these people are superhuman. They are.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mentally and physically just on another level.
And that's why every time I hear someone like dominating in the minors, I'm like, so?
Yeah.
When they come to the show, the big time, it's different. You can be the best hitter in the minor league and be the worst hitter in the MLB.
Oh, so. Yeah. It happens all the time because that's they rank all the minor leaguers and they're like, you know, so and so. I mean, but they do get it right quite a bit. Like, I remember when Steven Strasburg came up for the Nationals and there was just like this big old thing around him. And then his first game, like, I think he struck out 15 people or something and just continued that through his whole career.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But then there's the one guy, they made a big deal about him on the Cubs, the one that was the pitcher when we went and saw the game. And
he's not good.
Not coming to fruition.
Well, it's getting exciting around here because we're coming down. And I'm sorry to everybody tuning into the baseball talk. I'm sorry. It's a baseball day today.
The season's almost over. When the Dodgers get knocked out in the first round, we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Easy. So we were worried. Me and Angie were not worried, but we were like, man, we're going to get, because this is the last, like, there are only like 4 games left of the season and we're going today. This is the last home game of the season because they're heading on the road. So we thought, oh man, you know, by then they're going to be clinched and be in first place and everything. It's going to be a boring game. They're going to throw some scrubs. No, it's actually coming down to the wire. So right now, we played San Diego. They won, one game. We won one game. And so now the magic number for the Dodgers is 2, which means they have to win 2 games to clinch the number one spot in the NL, or the NL West in their division. That is either a win today. That the way the math works out is a win today will do it, but if they lose today, then they got to win 2 against Colorado. So it is an exciting game. We were kind of like, oh, we're just going to watch some
the ending triple play to end the game the other night was crazy.
I saw it afterwards. I didn't watch it live. I've been busy, but
it was that. And then did you see they have that hurricane that's about to hit Florida? And
I've been talking to Kenny all morning, but he lives in the middle of that.
Yeah, but I've been talking to him too. He's like, I'm just gonna hold out.
Yeah, I mean, what else can he do?
He was saying, we just don't know which way to go. Do you go east? Mm-hmm. Do you go west? You know, and then what if the hurricane changes course a little bit? So,
I told him, I said, you don't want to know what it looks outside right now where I live.
Yeah,
and I'm going to a Dodger game this afternoon. Good luck.
Yeah.
No, I'm just good luck. Serious Kenny, good luck. I hope everything worked out. Because by the time this episode comes out, your house is either gone. I'm just kidding. Jesus. You're a terrible person.
Gosh. They're doing that. The Mets or the Braves. The game, I think the Braves game is getting delayed.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have to play. And they're only a game apart from the Mets or whatever. So like it could. I saw it broke down today on TikTok. They could play a doubleheader to see who goes in. If they win the doubleheader, then they go in. They have to play a playoff game the next day. So, it's going to ruin their whole starting. Like, it's going to mess so much stuff up.
It's crazy. It's all pretty. It's fun. Yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
But
it's fun until you have to play the Padres in the wild card. Or not wild card, because you got if they clinch the division and win best, then they skip the wild card game. But
so if the Dodgers take number one in the West and they get a bye week, and then the Padres play the Mets,
that's not confirmed yet.
Or the Mets or the Braves,
yeah, or the Diamondbacks.
No, the Diamondbacks will be playing. Well, as of right now, the Diamondbacks will be playing Philly.
That's right. Okay,
then the best.
They would play the best team?
I don't know, man. That's the way I looked at it this morning, and that's how it's set up now.
Yeah.
Phillies, Diamondbacks, Padres, Mets as of right now, depending on what happens with this other stuff, or a lot of factors involved. But if it were to start today.
If it were to start today, it would be Arizona and Milwaukee. Yeah. Oh, really? So the Phillies are already clinched. They get a bye week, too.
Yeah, you're right.
It would be the Mets and the Padres.
Yeah.
And then whoever won the Mets and the Padres would play the Dodgers. Whoever won Arizona.
And then it's Arizona and Milwaukee, and whoever wins that plays the Phillies. That's what I saw today.
I am rooting for
the Dodgers.
Arizona.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't have a skin in the game. But even if the Cubs made it, I wouldn't even be rooting for the Cubs. Because they wouldn't have deserved it. You know who's been playing, honestly, the best is the Padres.
They've been tough.
50-50 at the break, and then it's crazy. So
the regular season doesn't matter at all. No. It means nothing.
Nothing.
But anyway, baseball talk. Sorry for that. 11 minutes in.
Let's get to truck talk. I have to ask you a question, because you know my favorite thing is to mess with you, right? To tell me why
I'm wrong.
No. Well, that too.
That's the second favorite thing.
So you went to the council run.
I did. I went to the council run, and you went to Waxahachie.
I noticed there was no forerunner footage from the council run.
No, I know. I didn't tell you about that whole situation.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll start with me.
Okay.
And then we'll get into Waxahachie talk in a minute. But yeah, I went to the council run last weekend, like I explained last week. And the reason I didn't take the forerunner is because I changed insurance companies, and the policy wouldn't take effect until the emergency declarations for the fires went away.
And so
I was waiting. I was checking it every single day, like checking, and currently the 4Runner is not insured. It's just sitting in the garage, just waiting to burn down.
Half the people listening right now are like, you're such a wuss. My truck's not insured. I would have driven it 6 miles down the road to a truck show.
That's what a lot of people told me, but I am not those people. You know me, dude, you know me. You know how I prepare for trips and am about insurance and like all this other stuff. Like, I'm not going to do that. So
that's a valid excuse, because I was like, I didn't notice any foreigner footage from Frank. Did he not take that thing 5 miles down the road to a mini truck show?
I did not. I took the Tundra, which was whatever. But let me talk about the council run.
Yeah.
I didn't take the 4Runner, but let me talk about the council run. It was really cool. Like, it was like, you know, you tend to take things that that you have for a long time for granted, and then like and then you go do the thing and you realize like, man, this is really neat.
Yeah,
this is really cool. So I go there Saturday. I only spent there Saturday. I got there Saturday morning and stayed until, you know, Saturday evening. And it was super small, you know, not a lot of people there. There was I don't even know exactly how many vehicles you could say were there, but it was really small. But the vibe was so good. Like, I was at one point, I'm sitting there, and I'm going to wax nostalgic. I'm going to get nostalgic. I'm going to get sentimental, and I'm going to get a whole bunch of things right now. So I'm sitting there, and we're, like, doing the thing and hanging out with everybody, and I'm making my way around talking to everybody, and I realize, like, there's not – maybe there's a few people, but the majority of the people there I've known for over 10 years, like, every single one of them.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really, like, damn, this is really cool. So the Southern California Mini Truck Council still does exist. They still do stuff. They threw this event. They throw a show once a year too, which I don't know if that had already passed or is coming up. But you know, there are a few people, and I can only say like a couple, and I don't know everybody who's involved, just what I know. So we have Carlos Los from Sunset and his wife Cricket. You know, they've sort of like taken the helm. I think he is actually the president of council right now. Mm-hmm. And I may be corrected if I'm not wrong, but I'm pretty sure he is.
I don't think there's anyone else that would do it. I think he's been that for a long time.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. Well, but he does have quite a few people like helping him out and stuff.
No, I know, but like to be president. Like, I remember back in the day when I was president of council, we would do the nominations and there would be a bunch of people to get nominated and then a bunch of people to get voted. And imagine if they did nominations now.
Oh yeah. They're like, yeah. I don't want to do it.
No.
Well, you know, I think really, really quick, quick backstory. So for those who don't know, the Southern California Mini Truck Council was this like body that existed in the 80s, 90s, all the way up until now.
Hold on real quick.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, he's going to make me talk to myself again. Oh, he's going to make me talk to the chair. I'm talking to the chair again. I don't know what he's doing. He's back. He's putting his headphones on.
We won't even have to edit this out because I was really fast. But
I was talking the whole time. Oh, wow. Yeah. So Southern California Mini Truck Council Incorporated minutes.
These are the original documents. I never gave these back.
No way. I have a funny story about that too, but go ahead.
This is the state of California. Look at this.
Oh, wow. And what is March Fung... You. What is
that's
that
the name of the Secretary of State.
Oh, okay. From back then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
1983.
Okay. Whoa. That's like this is the original.
This is the original paperwork from December, dated December 13th. Yeah, look at.
Whoa. That's really super cool.
Yeah, it's all here. It's all from the original bylaws are in here. The application for 501C. Who signed this? The president. Yeah, here we go. Look at these names. Look at the second name.
Bob Hayes. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. President Bob Hayes. You know who I saw rolling around at the council run?
Mm-mm.
Hatter.
No way.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
He's just rolling around, man, just hanging out, still doing his thing. He still has that, I don't know if you remember his Jeep from back in the day with like the orange flames on it and stuff. Still rolling around, man.
That's insane. He was an old man when I got into the scene.
I know. He's a very old man now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was floating around. But so like I was saying, for those who don't know, there was this thing that existed in the 80s and 90s and 2000s up until now. And it was like a council. It was a body of mini truckers who got together and once a month discuss like upcoming shows and past shows and cruise nights and just sort of everything that was like before the internet. That's sort of what that was. It was like the social media gathering to find out about events before social media existed.
So, I think it originally started at a park, but then when I got involved with it, it was at the college.
Yeah, Mount SAC.
Mount SAC, and we would. It was like basically a representative from each club would go. Mm-hmm. And it always ended up being either one person or, I mean, we used to roll out five or six trucks sometimes.
I know. Like, we used to treat it like it was like an event.
Yeah, because the parking lot looked like a show, basically.
Yeah.
And then, you would pay like $2 to walk in. And all you would put your show flyers on the table and collect show flyers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all pre-internet. This is like when you actually had to go down.
I would have to say the last, if I was to guess when the last council meeting that I attended was probably Mount SAC, because I never went to them after they moved after that. So this is like 2003, mm-hmm. maybe 2004.
Yeah, I never went to any after that either.
Yeah, and you were the when I got into the scene in 2001, you were the council president, you and Ernie.
I was it for 2 years. Ernie was vice president for 1 year. Council, and then like Bob Hayes was always, it was like Bob Hayes and then Brad Rogers and Bob Hayes and Brad Rogers.
Yeah,
those were the two presidents. And my favorite part was when they would go up there and after a run, because what if you were having a show, you would go up in front of all these clubs and you would talk about your show.
Right.
It's like a, it was like a real Facebook post.
It was. That's what it was.
It was
an in-person Facebook post.
And if anyone had questions, they could ask you questions, and then everyone would shut up. They wouldn't start to get in their feelings and opinions like they do on Facebook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then after your show, you would go back up and you would talk about how it went.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite part.
Oh yeah, those were
that was so good, because all the story, especially the truck runs, because you would have mm-hmm. them talking about like people tied to a tree or they kicked this person out or whatever, and it was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. And then also the other aspect of it was, well, to just finish the thought on the event thing, and then the hours of arguing with beef when someone would throw a cruise night in Orange County and throw a cruise night in Riverside, and then there was just beef the entire time and complaining.
It kind of ruined it.
It kind of, yeah, but also it was kind of fun.
It was funny, but like it ruined it for me being the president, right?
So, well, I guess, yeah.
And
I was just a spectator.
Yeah, but it was almost like when Forbidden got in, or when I got into Forbidden, and Forbidden was in council, and then there was a bunch of like new clubs, like in the early 2000s, all these new clubs were getting in and forming. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like the old guys that had been in it since the 80s, just how it goes, kids these days, or da-da-da-da, respect. Like, they were almost like getting, not mad, but a form of jealousy almost, because these new clubs were coming in, throwing their own events, doing new things, new ideas, and all this stuff. And it's just kind of a reflection of how that society goes when the new generation comes up. Mm-hmm. The old generation kind of is like a little grumbly, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's still like that today.
Oh, of course, yeah. But that's kind of how it was in that group. And I always like to ruffle the feathers too of the old guys. You know what I mean? So, because I remember telling him like, look, if this cruise night's in the Inland Empire and you have one in Orange County, it's not going to interfere with each other,
right?
Because they couldn't
see it.
There's only 4 weekends out in the month.
Yeah,
you can't tell someone that they can't have their cruise night.
Mm-hmm. And then there's just us up in the high desert, like just like, yeah, we're fine.
It's just like, it was like the HOA of the mini trucking scene.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. So that was one facet. And the other facet of it was joining council. So like you said, if you were a new club, you would roll down there. You're a new club and you'd all sit in the rows and line up. And then you would go up and say, oh, we're so-and-so from so-and-so, and we want to be part of council. And then how was the vote? I can't remember the voting process on that. If you were a new club,
it was just, if you're a new club, you had to come to 3 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how clubs also made their guidelines. Clubs based their guidelines on the Southern California.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
Yeah. So our club went Forbidden. When I first got in, it was 3 meetings and you get voted on. And that's what mm-hmm. council was. So almost all these clubs just use the council bylaws as their bylaws for their club.
Oh, okay.
And so 3 meetings in council, and then you would come up at the end, everyone would say yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then you're in council and that's it.
What was there ever a nay? I don't remember any nays.
We nayed.
Oh, you,
we Forbidden Fantasy nayed Forbidden Dreams.
Oh, okay.
And it was a big deal. Cause usually there were nays, but it was like, haha, funny jokes from friends.
Right. Right.
But we all went, we rolled down there deep and we were like, nay. And the funny part is Adam Sinner was in Forbidden Dreams.
That's right.
He was in Forbidden Fantasy. Now we had a couple people from Forbidden Dreams come over, but yeah, we nayed, and it was a big thing. They were like, well,
yeah,
what's
like shocking? Like,
they're like, well, what's the problem? And I was like, it's the same name.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's not. I'm all, yeah, it's the same name. Like dream and fantasy, it means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they ended up getting in, but you know, they fizzled out later on.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I remember a funny thing about that. I remember, do you remember Auto Accessory Warehouse?
Oh, yeah. Kazi.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy. So do you remember the club that he started?
Yeah.
It was called Forsaken.
Yeah.
It was called Forsaken. So we're sitting in a meeting and they were trying to get into council. We didn't know who they were. All I knew that all I knew about Auto Accessory Warehouse was it was in that gas station.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I knew about it. So our club is sitting in one row. They are sitting in front of us. We don't know it's them. And they're talking about Forsaken. And I was like, I said to the person next to me, like, yeah, foreskin. So we're just ripping on the whole time. And then it came down to like, okay, it came down to that part of the meeting where they're like, okay, we have a new club coming and want to join Forsaken. And they all stand up. And I'm like, uh-oh. So that, yeah. So, but council was great. The banter, the hurt feelings, the good times, the Bob Hayes and Rodney show was the best. Was the best about council. When
that
those
was.
Two dudes got up there, it was like an hour of nonstop hilarity.
Yeah. So the Rodney and Bob show was good, but it was like, and this is kind of sad, but Cherokee, that Through Summer Madness, that was the van guy.
Mm-hmm.
He would get up there. And he had no sense of humor. He would just get up there and bitch and complain.
Yeah.
About everyone. And I remember one time I thought he was going to have a stroke on stage because there was a bunch of people at the Hanford Summer Madness that got mad because the cops came in and were giving people tickets and for DUI, for indecent exposure, for all this stuff. And like, so the rebellion in everyone just left their trash everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they were just pissed.
Yeah.
And I remember when he got up on stage after that and it was his head. He was like steaming out of his head.
With Cherokee, it's very interesting. And I'm going to bring the whole mood down right now.
Ah, yeah.
Because, yeah, as a young person, Cherokee, you would go to Summer Madness and he would be, you know, just doing his thing. And anybody who went to Summer Madness knew Cherokee, knew exactly how he was. And I'll kind of go into a bunch of explanation. But you'd kind of almost make fun of him. He was this old man, you know, throwing this run. He's an old vanner.
Nightlife Vans. That was
That was the first van club was Nightlife. But then he started another van called van club called Rolling on Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. So, yeah, that was like his two clubs. So, you know, you're young. You're stupid. You're just making fun of everything, right? He put on that event almost up until he passed away. Like he was like every year he'd put on that event and we all go and we all kind of like, you know, be dumbasses or whatever. But here's where I'm going to bring it down. He only did that because of his kid. Like the reason he started that event was his son passed away like in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was like into it. So every year he would dedicate that show to his son.
Yeah.
And no matter what, no matter what we did to him or what we said to him or how bad we messed everything up, he still did it the next year only to keep his son's memory alive.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like after, I mean, I was aware of that the whole time, but again, stupid, young, you know, whatever. But it wasn't until like he passed away that I kind of like reflected on that. I'm like, man, that was kind of really shitty. But on the other side of the coin, he was wild too. Like, I mean, there's so many Cherokee stories. You know, like him on stage during the bikini contest. He was kind of a dirty old man, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that show was like it was like half vans, half mini trucks.
Yeah.
And then there was all family there. People had their kids there and all that stuff. But then at a certain time, Cherokee got on stage. He's like, all the kids, get out of here. Go to bed.
Yeah. And then the bikini thing started. I mean, there was one time, you know, Robin's Nest used to go down that big hill to get down to the thing. One night, because like my old club, Twisted Obsessions, used to like help. Well, not we used to do the show portion. We used to judge the show and like kind of help out here and there. And he had a bunch of different clubs help him over the years. And back then it was like a thing where he was like promising us to like we were going to take over the show and stuff. You know, that's a whole nother thing that I could get into. But anyway, so my club would always help him out and we'd do security and we'd check cars and rolling in. Well, that hill one night, and Cherokee used to get down and drink, too. Like,
that full
drink. He's just freaking peeled out, and he's like at the top in a golf cart. He didn't go down the road. He went down the like mountain, and we're all of our clubs in there. We watch him. He just go and he's just like, bah, 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 bah. We thought he was dead. We thought, oh my god, that's it. He's done. And then he get down the bottom, and the thing's all messed up and all bent. We're like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. It was wild. Cherokee was wild.
He was. There's going back to the council run, thing. You know, it reminds me of the van thing. Like, it's going to be those people that go to that are going to go to that forever. So, and there is a show. It's on. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's called Vannin. And I want to say this van run takes place, I think, in the Chicago area or somewhere out in the Midwest. But it is, if you watch that, I'm watching the trailer on it right now. If you watch that, that's those guys. That's exactly those. These guys will do this forever.
And I had that exact thought this weekend, which was sort of like, so like, you know, you told me about that show a long time ago. And I don't know if I watch the whole thing or just watch a trailer. I don't know. I do remember it, though. And you were like, yeah, this is going to be them one day. And I was like, no. Well, yeah, I got that feeling this past week.
Oh, yeah. No, you should go. Do you have Amazon Prime? Or can you get?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Go watch this. Yeah. Like,
I already know because I was there last weekend.
Watch this whole thing. If you just watch the trailer, you have to watch this. You will go, oh, man. And especially now, because I watched this like 10 years ago. So you watching it now, especially after going to that last weekend, you will go, oh, we're already here.
And I know because watching the trailer, I already kind of have a good idea on what it's about. And yeah, you're right. It is. It is that. But however, this was the thing. You're almost okay with it now. It's almost like, okay, that's fine. Because 10 years ago, you would watch that and you'd be like, no, no way, man. No, that's not us. No way. But now you're kind of like, oh, it is. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, so essentially, at least with the council and that group of people, that it's just like buddies camping out. You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
There is no growth from that, right? It might ebb and flow. You know what I mean? As far as people coming in and like the event and stuff, but that's pretty much what that event's going to be forever.
Yeah,
you know, which is fine,
and that's okay.
And I always said, like, when I went to the Rezzo reunion, what was that now? Almost 10 years ago now. That when I went to that, I said this is what Rezzo should be. You know, and I know Bob's bringing it back and he's trying to make it this thing. I don't know exactly what he's trying to do, but knowing Bob, he's trying to make it a big thing.
Right. Yeah.
Rezzo to me should just be just a hangout.
And you know what? And that's what I was going to say about this event. Going to this event, one, it was cool because there was mini trucks there. That's always cool. But two, it's not a run where you get just wasted and you just do dumb things. It was just a bunch of friends camping is what it was.
Yeah.
And I get, cause like, I haven't really put it out there, but you and I talked a lot about it. I had this new Airstream trailer that, you know, I'm like putting together. It's a 72 Airstream trailer. And I was that whole weekend. I was like, it'd be so cool. Just pull this out there, chill and just hang out with everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Just a bunch of old friends hanging out camping with a little bit of cruising, like going around, which was a funny thing. So there's this guy, this new guy petitioning severed, and he's got a Tacoma that just got bagged. And I'm out, you know, pocketing around. And he says, oh, come on, jump in. So I get in the back of this truck. We're riding around. It's me, this guy, Jose, and Pat Rich, you know, Pat with the Sonoma. And we're riding along, and Pat goes, man, what are we doing with our lives? He's like, we're 40-year-old men riding around in the back of a mini truck, and the back of this thing has just gotten bagged, so there's no fender wells.
Yeah.
It's completely open, and I'm sitting in the front of the bed, but they're sitting in the back of the bed just getting dusted with rocks and dust. And he goes, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But then again, right after that, he says, no, but it's still fun. It is still fun, you know.
Well, that's the thing, right? So if you don't are not a mini trucker and you have not been to these truck runs and that's not what you do, you're doing something else very similar. You're going four-wheeling with your buddies.
Exactly. You're going
camping with your buddies. So this is the exact same thing. Or you're just watching football on the couch. Like, it's all the same. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what I mean? So Rezzo to me was always like the one where we just got together and camped. And it would be fun. I don't know what the future of Rezzo is, but that's kind of like the Forbidden Fantasy show. So the Forbidden show is more of a get together and less of a show, even though the show part is obviously the main part, right? But that event will always happen as long as it can, regardless of the size of the show, because it's going to be not a camping event, but a hotel event for our club. Like, you know what I mean? Just a place where we can get together. You know, even 10 years from now, if there's no show, it's still going to be the Forbidden Fantasy Avi get together. And it doesn't matter if it's just me there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's exactly the sentiment I took away from this last weekend.
Yeah.
We're evolving, we're growing, and you just have to let, like, it's not the days we used to have, you know?
Well, you don't have
but
to.
It's still good. It's still good.
And that's the thing is, and for Los, I don't know if he listens to this or whatever, but
he does. Okay. He listens every.
Okay.
He listens on Tuesdays because he told me. Like, I don't listen on Mondays because I think his work week starts on Tuesday or something, but every morning he's listening. Every Tuesday
I'm not
morning.
Giving you these minutes back, Los. These are mine. I stole these fair and square.
You know, okay, my funny story really quick since you brought that up again about keeping stuff like that, because you saw an opportunity to keep this because you're like, this is history. Like, this needs to be preserved, and you took it upon yourself to, like, preserve that history. Yeah. I did the same thing when I left my old club. When I left my old club, I had the entire and whoever's listening from the old club, I don't know. But I had the entire bylaws and minutes and all sorts of stuff. I have the original banner. They asked me, like, hey, man, do you know where that banner is? I was like, nah, dog, no, where that, not dog, where
I don't know.
I have it. I have both of them. Just because I took it upon myself. Because, look, nothing, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about those dudes. I love those guys. But I just took it upon myself. Like, I foresee myself doing this for the rest of my life. I'm going to take it upon myself to preserve this.
And one day when you have your shop or whatever you have, you can hang all that stuff up and it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But I was also going to say, did you feel a little guilty when you were there and you had these feelings of nostalgia and this feeling of just this good feeling of, like, this local thing, friends and that you've known forever, that you put so much effort to travel to shows? Less effort for local stuff.
Yeah, I talked to a couple
people
about
that. I feel that way sometimes.
It is, and that's, like, kind of like the curse of what we do. Like, yeah, you know. And I was talking to a few people about this, and I was like, you know, it sucks that I will travel. We're going to travel to Missouri next week to go to a show, but that's what we kind of chose to do. And when we come back here, it's like I have other obligations, or I want to do other stuff. And yeah, it sucks. I completely admit that. And I'm not trying to, like, make any excuses. It is what it is, and it sucks. But I'm really happy. I'm sorry. Let me finish one thought on that. I'm really happy, though, that even though that we're doing all this stuff, that we still have people, like, in our club who will still go to every cruise night and who still go to local events. Like, I really appreciate those dudes for putting in the effort to do that.
Yeah. I have made a mental push for myself to try to get out to more local stuff here and not make an excuse, because it's so easy to make an excuse.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the last few Sunset cruise nights that they've had, I've been out of town. So that's an easy excuse. But, like, if I'm in town, I'm like, no, I'm going to go. Like, I'm not going to make an excuse.
Yeah. I feel the same way. We'll see what it comes. So maybe if I have insurance on the Forerunner, but no, I do want to, be a better member as the joke has been.
Or just
lately.
A better, just a truck enthusiast,
better truck enthusiast, better steward of the scene. I don't know. That's stupid. Anyway,
we make excuses, and then we watch, like, Ben, who's just goes to everything. I hit him up a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what's going on tonight? A few Saturdays ago, I was home, and I was like, oh, I'm going to take the Maverick to something. And I was like, what's going on tonight? And he sends me this list of cruise nights around here. Uh-huh. And I was like, I didn't go to any of them. I just stayed home.
But I really appreciate Ben and the rest of those dudes, too. I don't want to get all, like, sentimental about it or anything like that. But, you know, and this is a little self-centered, but people have said this before to you and me, to both of us. They're saying that, like, oh, man, I really appreciate what you're doing for the scene and what you're doing for the truck culture. I appreciate what those dudes do.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys in the mud doing the this is the best way I can put it, the nitty gritty, you know, going to these cruise nights, going to these parking lots, hanging out. Those are the guys who are actually, like, keeping the culture going, you know?
Yeah.
Not us. We're just sort of kind of, like, documenting it and going to these things, you know? But they are the vehicles, so to speak, keeping the whole culture going. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
You
guys make up for our lack of going to things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we appreciate it. Thanks.
We just talk about it.
Yeah. We're just commenting.
Yeah.
We're just the watchers.
Yeah. So,
but Council Run, great. Another other point that I wanted to make about Council Run is the kind of to marry those two things together. There are so many people who say the events don't exist. It's not like it used to be. It was right there. Anybody who wants, who like you know, reflects and wants those things that they had before these events, cruising, hanging out with your friends, barbecuing, drinking, hanging out. It was right there.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, that was my final thought on that.
Speaking of like, what you said, like it was a little sentimental and a little all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt when I went to the Green Day concert.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You went to the Green Day concert last week.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned I wasn't the like a die hard Green Day fan, but I realized that, like, you know,
you
like,
are.
Yeah, because there's a lot of music that I listened to growing up that, you know, maybe it's not like I don't have a bunch of it on my Spotify playlist or I don't go out of my way to listen to it a ton now. Mm-hmm. But then you're just like, oh, wait, this is what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they played the entire Dookie album from first song to last song.
That's awesome.
The entire, what's the other album? The other, the one after that.
American Idiot
from start to finish.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were albums in between, but that
was there were albums in between, but those were the two they were celebrating on this tour.
Right, right, right.
And in total, they played 36 songs.
Wow.
And I was like, everyone that was there and everyone on Reddit that was talking about this was just like, I've seen Green Day so many times, and this was probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Some of those songs, the non-popular songs on those albums, they'll probably never play live again.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah. Did they play the secret track after the last song on Dookie?
I'd have no idea.
The All By Myself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he came down and sang it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was, and then they played some songs in between, some songs off the new album. And just the stage, like, you know, we talked about like going to a big show like that in a big arena or a stadium or whatever. That was my first time going to one in a big stadium like that.
You had good seats too.
Decent seats.
Yeah.
Still far and still watch the screens versus the band. Mm-hmm. Cause they were far, but we did have perfect seats to where we were in like the aisle, the left side of the aisle, and the, we had a direct line to the stage. And we didn't have to stand, like, we didn't have to stand up to see over anyone. We just chilled, which most people did because we're a little older there.
Old.
Yeah. So, like, but it was really, what I was going to say is, like, the difference between, like, when we go to the other venues here in town where it's still big, but, you know, it's more intimate. You could see the people and, like, you're right there. Where this one, you couldn't, but it felt like, you were, the entire city was there and you were just partying with the entire city.
That's cool.
Like they opened up, Rancid opened up, which was cool.
Yeah. What was that like? That was good.
Yeah. But like the lights were still on. They were just like,
it was sort of like in the beginning.
They were just getting people warmed up.
The second band to go on?
Second band. Yeah. We didn't see the Linda Lindas. We got there too late. And then I forgot how much I loved Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh yeah. So, Smashing Pumpkins is great.
When I in high school, my first introduction to that type of music kind of was Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine that was in a grade above me introduced me to him, and his name's Adrian. He actually still buys merch to this day.
Oh, like, from
I'll
you?
I'll see That's his name cool. come across the thing, and it takes me back. I used to hide in the trunk of his '67 Mustang,
because
he had an off-campus pass and I didn't.
And so you just sneak out.
So I just would go jump in the trunk and we would go off campus. And then I would hop in and we would cruise around and get lunch and stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, he introduced me to Smashing Pumpkins, the album Gish. And so like, I didn't think much of, like, I was like, oh, cool. Smashing Pumpkins are going to play. But then when they started playing, I was like,
kind of hit with that.
I got hit with emotions big time. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like it was like, whoa, because you think like all of this stuff, like that's what started it all. And then I don't know. It's just music is obviously just a strange thing that gets you real emotional sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then same with Green Day. And the amazing part about Green Day was just how good they are live.
Like they've been doing it for like 40 years.
but like some bands aren't good live.
Oh yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like some you'll hear the album, even Smashing Pumpkins is not the best band live. Mm-hmm. Some songs they were good at, and some I was just like, what is he doing? But everything about Green Day from just the production on stage, like they changed, they had the entire like the bomb going off for the Dookie album.
Oh yeah, huh? Yeah.
And then when they started playing the other album, that whole thing changed.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was really good. It was just, yeah, I didn't realize how, really cool. how much I just forgot how much I did like them.
Yeah. Green Day, like I was saying last episode, Green Day was my introduction into punk rock music. Green Day, NoFX was my introduction to punk rock music. Previous to that, I was very, very into like Metallica, like heavy metal,
yeah,
like Metallica, Megadeth, like that kind of stuff. But that was my first introduction to punk rock music. And I followed Green Day, you know, ever since then. And kind of like a really kind of like interesting little nugget of trivia is the American Idiot album. They actually had another album recorded before that that was supposed to be that album.
Yeah.
But something happened and all the masters got deleted. Yeah. So they actually came up with that album after,
yep,
like recording a whole album, which turned into a masterpiece, and they turned it into a Broadway show.
Yep.
You know, they like that whole album is a story. Like,
yeah,
each song is part of a bigger story. So
yeah,
they're great. And, yeah, I love Green Day too. Green Day is a huge part of my life.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to see any band that they want, like, go see them. Like, there were tickets for that show that were $30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were really up high. But like, I was watching the guys, you know, the people up at the top, the very last row at the top of that baseball stadium, and they, mm-hmm, were just up there dancing and having a good, time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's an experience doing that. Like, I love going to the small shows, obviously. You know, there's levels of these things, like,
mm-hmm,
but going to like that big show was less about being intimate with the band, mm-hmm, and just being surrounded by fans.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool, yeah, experience. The only big arena show that I've ever watched was Metallica. Do you remember in the early 2000s they had the, it was like Metallica and Kid Rock.
Was it Korn?
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing.
Was it the Family Values Tour or no?
That's, I think it was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Anyway, I saw the Coliseum. And so like I was so, I just could have just been home, you know. Yeah, it was so far away, like it was, yeah, not a fun experience. So yeah, that was the only time I've done that.
If but you're not 100% in love with that band you're seeing, mm-hmm, it's not a good experience, because you have to have a connection with the other people that like that band.
Yeah,
because,
well, like you said, there was more like a
community
communal,
it was like a, yeah, community thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because there was a point when I was sitting there and I was like, oh yeah, this is, I'm not watching the band, I'm watching the screen that the band is on, and I could, yeah, be doing that in with my TV. So if you do this, you have to enjoy like that actual music and the people that come along with that music. And the other thing, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. It left my train of thought.
But it's okay. The only other arena show that I saw was the Misfits, and that was that. I got that feeling at that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually kind of funny, because when I bought tickets, like, this was the original Misfits. So it's like Glenn Danzig and Jerry Only and Doyle. So it was the original Misfits, which they hadn't played at that point. This was back in 2019. So at that point, this was, I think it was the first time they got back together in like 20 something years or more. So the tickets went on sale and I immediately just bought them. I didn't even look at what I was buying, I just bought them. We get down to the Forum and it was that way up. I mean, there was one seat away from touching the wall.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. This sucks. And then so we're sitting there. We go through like the first couple opening bands, and we're like, "What do we have to lose? Let's just go. Let's go down there. Let's see how close we can get before we get kicked out." Well, in the beginning, I kind of overshot my shot, and I tried to get like way not on the floor, but right the next one from the floor. Immediately got shut down. I was like, "Okay." They're like, "Oh, can I see your tickets?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And they're like, "Oh, you're way up there." I'm like, "Okay, fine." So we leave and we get out and we're like, well, let's try it again. Let's not try to be so ambitious. So we go, we're walking back up and we like skate around and we got to the next level above that and no one tripped. And we spent the whole time there watching the show. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I get that. Like, but that was the same feeling I got. You're just surrounded by all these people. We're all singing the songs and we're all jumping up and down. It was a totally cool experience. And I'm sure that's what experience you had.
Yeah, no, it was really good. The next one I want to experience, and when I get tickets to this one, I want to be in the very, not in the like in either in the pit or right at the very front of the standing,
yeah,
you know, section,
like general admission kind of thing.
Yeah, because I want to see Linkin Park
with a new singer
and stuff, because, mm-hmm, just that experience to be with amongst those fans.
Yeah,
it's very cool. It's a very similar thing.
Yeah, you know? No, that's cool. That's super cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I still like my little dirty punk rock shows. That's what I enjoy doing. Which is funny because, I don't know if we'll get into questions later or not, but someone asked about like, oh, what are your other hobbies? Well, we do have other hobbies. We don't talk about them that much because everybody doesn't like it, but
Oh no, everyone likes it. They just don't like it when that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
But I
like my little punk rock shows.
Well, yeah, I mean everyone likes their small punk rock shows, but like the other thing that fascinates me going to these larger shows is the stage and the way that they set the stages up and the thing like all the lights and the I can't think of the word now.
Pyrotechnics?
No, just the whole thing.
The production?
The production value of that. That fascinates me. Just looking around at what they're doing, you know what I mean? And all that is crazy. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. That's awesome. And then you had to wake up. Yeah, so you did the concert.
Oh, yeah, so I messed up.
Yeah, I know. We got to get into that part about it. Your trip to Waxahachie.
Like 5 days before the thing, I'm like, I told Joe, I was like, all right, yeah, let's leave like 3 a.m. because we're going to drive straight through to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And it's a 16-hour drive, to which always turns into a 24-hour drive.
Right.
But, and then I was like, oh, when's the concert? I look at my calendar. I was like, oh, no.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. Like, so I told them, I was like, it's going to be closer to 4 probably because I messed up. By the time I get home and just like get to sleep and stuff, it was 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's when you got back
we got back around midnight, but then just like after getting a couple of the small things settled and because I packed everything, got everything ready. I already took the stuff down to Joe's like a few days prior, but and then I woke up not because my alarm was going off, but because I had a cramp in my foot. And I was like, woke up, it's still dark, and I'm all, I probably have time. I probably have like another hour. And I look at my phone, it's 5:34 in the morning.
No.
And Joe called me, and he's like, you okay? He's like, all I pictured was you in a ditch. Like in the desert on the way here. And I was like, man, I would have told you if I was on my way at least.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So yeah, we didn't end up leaving until like 7.
Seven
from his house, because his house is 45 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
So get there, hook the trailer up, get in the truck. Yeah. So I had booked a hotel for Friday and Saturday night in Waxahachie for C10s in the Park. This is the show.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't book Thursday night because I was like, we'll just get as far as we can Thursday night and then get a hotel and then drive the rest of the way Friday morning, because vendor setups 10 to 4 on Friday. So there's no rush to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, no, like a few days before, I was like, I'll just book Thursday night at the same hotel.
Because you just anticipated you were going to get there.
Yeah, so I had two bookings, separate bookings. So we were 3.5 hours away from...
You made it that far.
We made it 3.5 to Sweetwater, Texas, 3.5 hours away from Waxahachie. And I go, you guys just want to eat the $135 for tonight's room and get another hotel room? He's like, yep. I was like, I'm down. So we pulled off, got another hotel room, and I called the hotel, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm not going to make it. And he's like, no problem. Care. He goes, no problem. I'll refund your money.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
oh,
he canceled the room. He's like, don't tell nobody. So,
where was that? Because was that a non-refundable room that you booked?
It was not a non-refundable. It was a refundable, but...
Oh, but it was like the day.
It was 1 o'clock in the morning when I called.
I made the mistake for my birthday. I remember that whole thing where I got a non-refundable room, which is dumb. But
yeah.
Oh, then wow! What a mission.
Yeah, and then we got there, and it was hot. It was like 98, 99 degrees.
Super humid.
Super humid. Like, it was miserable. But I didn't leave the booth the whole time.
Oh yeah.
I just sat in the booth and yeah, didn't do much. Someone, where did I put that? What's that?
Is that show another one that like Oro and those dudes are kind of involved with? Those guys just do like West Coast stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah, this is a guy named Terry that puts this together. His dad's like the mayor of the town.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, that's
so
interesting.
They have the show on Saturday. It's from like 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then throughout the day, they pick 80 trucks. And at those 80 trucks get to park in the downtown square. And they have a concert down there and people are dancing and they have like, it's cool. We've never made it to that part of the show.
I know. Yeah. Every year I've heard you like hype it up and then I know how you are.
Yeah.
You know, Joe is very similar, I think, where he's just like, yeah, you know, man, it's a pizza and wings.
We had pizza and wings.
Yeah.
in the hotel lobby and hung out and then went to bed and woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And
that, you know, remember how you told me when I get to a certain age in my 40s, it just a light switch would go off. That sounds way fun, dude.
It was. It was so much fun. It was so much fun to just like go to the hotel and order pizza and chill.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It is definitely nice.
There is a, where did I put it? I think it's in my cash box. It's a sticker. Someone's like, give this to Frank. Like, da da da. And it said something about like we. He's like, but you can't give you. He can't have the sticker because it said like we drive or we cruise. He goes because he doesn't take his 4Runner or anything, so he can't have the sticker.
Oh dang! Who was that?
I forgot. He's one of the guys that like volunteers. He asks about you every year at C10s in the park.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, it was the
first year we went to C10s in the park. We pull up, and the first guy, he's like, "Hey, where's Frank?" And me and Joe were like.
Hey, what about us?
What about us?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, but I mean, it was a good show anyway, regardless of the...
It was a good show. The Titan did good.
You took the Titan.
Fixed the rattle in the door. Welded that. I found a hairline crack in it. Welded it up and it didn't rattle and it just...
Yeah. Just cruised.
Just cruised, man.
That's awesome. That's really cool. How did Morgan do it? Because the joke is like because you know the extra cab of the Titan's not that big.
Yeah.
So you know, and then Morgan sent a picture of her in the back, and I said, "Hey, we all put our time in back there.
A good spot for one person."
Oh yeah, for one person, it's chill. You like lay across the back. Yep. It's chill. But we all put in the time back there.
Yeah, yeah. For more than one person, it is not good. But yeah, one person, you're sitting sideways. It's decently comfortable. It's, you know, I don't have to. Sit
especially like, I consider myself not a tall or large person. Like when it's like Lindsay or Morgan or even me, like there's plenty of room back there.
Oh yeah,
it's nice. It's not bad.
I've slept back there.
Like, oh yeah,
I pulled off and I have put the front seats forward and I put stuff between the front seats and the back seats and just made a bed and I've slept for hours back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the old tit putting in the work. That's great. That's super cool.
That's about it on that.
Yeah, nothing to report back from wax your snatchy.
Wax a snatchy. No, it was just fun. It was just a good time. Joe's the last time Joe vended was LST, and after this event, he goes, "Now I know why I don't do this."
Oh wait, he did like well. I don't want.
Oh no, he did well. Sales and all that stuff.
Just doing the process of doing it.
Exactly.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, and I mean, he's got a full time job, so like he had to go back to work. You know, he didn't have the days to rest up after this and just be. You know, So
that's sort of like the little secret. Maybe it's not a secret, but that's like the thing about us is like when we get back from these trips, it's like 2 or 3 days, nothing. Like you got to recover.
Yeah.
You got to recover.
Yeah. It takes a long time. Even like I drove all the way there and then I drove all the way back. And even Joe was like, "Want me to drive?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm fine."
Mm-hmm.
And got back and I was like, "Yeah, that was a long trip."
Mm-hmm. And we're about to embark on another one.
Yeah.
I'm coming out Tuesday and we're going to head out to Knoll, Missouri.
To Sparks in the Park.
Sparks in the Ozarks.
I'm getting them so confused. Sparks in the Ozarks.
Because we are headed to the Ozarks. That's where we're going.
Yep.
It's going to be, I've never explored that part of the country. I'm kind of interested. My brother lived there for a little while, but I never went there.
Yeah,
but,
so we're
going to
go.
I'm kind of interested to like check that out. See what's going on down there. What would you guys got going on?
we're going to go like through Oklahoma and then there's like two ways to go. You could take the toll road, which cuts like an hour off.
I saw that.
Or you could take this other way. I don't know. I think we're going to meet up with some of the Freaks guys from Vegas and drive out with them.
That'd be cool.
But they go to... Oh, what's that town just on the Texas? Oh, Tucumcari. The first night, and then the second night they drive the rest of the way.
Oh, I know what you're. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think I'm pretty sure that like the way we do things, we'll end up in like Oklahoma City or past that at some point. Like I don't know, because whenever we leave your place, we always end up if we leave like later in the morning, like around 8 or 9, we end up in Oklahoma in the middle of the night. OKC.
Well, we stayed for mini nats. We ended up in Amarillo. We stayed in Amarillo first night when we left we left my house at like 9.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We could probably, I'm going to come out early. So like I'm coming out because we have to shoot another podcast before we leave.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, I'll be out there. We're going to shoot a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll get it up. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I was already like thinking all this stuff out.
I know. I've got so much stuff to get done before then. I'm recording Ronnie's 100th podcast tomorrow.
Are you going to be on it?
No. I'm just recording it.
You're just filming.
I'm setting it up for him. He's going to use my mics and
all
that stuff, and I'm going to record it for him because he wants to make a video of the 100th one. So
that's cool. That's awesome. 100th episode?
10th year.
Oh, 10. It's got to be. He's done way more than 100
episodes. Yeah, maybe it's like.
It's got to be like 10. I think it's 10 year because we were talking about that when we were in his office.
Yeah, it is. I think it's 10 years.
I think it's 10 years. Yeah, that's super cool. I'm very proud of myself. I'm like actually ahead of schedule. I'm ready to go. All my stuff's printed. All this crazy work that I've been doing lately. I've been working like late every single night is doing softball sweaters.
Oh.
I guess like.
You have to pick stuff up for me on the way out.
Oh, well, how much stuff?
It's not going to be that much. I'm just going to have them put like a box together because it's.
Oh, one
it's,
box?
It's, yeah, because I'll get the rest when I come out for mini truck revival.
Okay, because I'm planning on bringing out the Tundra with no trailer, just everything in the bed. So, yeah, as long as it's like one or two boxes, that'll be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put it inside the cab.
Just put towels on the seat, man.
It's all right. No, it'll be fine. I thought about it, but the only problem, like, it crossed my mind really quickly, like, bringing the trailer with me, but then, like, it's where are we gonna put it while we're gone, so that's not going to work.
Joe's house.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the logistics of that. But yeah. I can get it all in the Tundra. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Everything. But yeah, I got everything going. Oh, I was going to say like, so what I've been working on just every day lately is softball stuff. Cause it's kind of interesting little behind the curtain thing. So when we make softball stuff, I screen print the fronts. And then since there's so many names and numbers, like I cut it out in vinyl and I press it on the back. So I'll spend the day just printing fronts, you know, that's pretty, you know, self-explanatory what I can do, but we are very, very careful since we're dealing with so many names and different numbers. So every night Angie has to come home and we get settled and then we sit there for like 2 or 3 hours and I cut the name and I put it down. I said, okay, so I'll spell the name out. She'll spell the name out. We'll go over the numbers because one time I only make mistakes once or twice. So one time, like I was doing a name with a 3. So I get it going, put down the 3. I'm like, man, that's a 3, but I load them upside down. So it looked like a 3 to me. And then I pull it off. I'm like, uh-oh. So now we have to go, okay, this is the name, S-M-I-T-H, S-M-I-T-H. Okay, number 3, and then she stands on the other side. I said, does that look like a 3 to you? And she's like, yeah, it looks like a 3 to me. And then we press it. So it's quite the process, and I've had a lot of softball stuff going on, so that's what I've been working on. But as far as like getting ready for the show and stuff, I'm ready to go.
All my stuff's still at Joe's.
Oh, really?
So I think I'm just going to go.
Did you just leave the trailer? Oh, no, because your stuff was in his trailer, right?
Yeah, so I took my stuff down there. We threw it in his trailer, and then when I got to his house, it was midnight, 11 o'clock on Sunday, something like that, and we just dropped the trailer, and I took off.
Yeah.
So it's sitting down there. I got to go pick it up.
Right on. Well, that's cool.
No, I have Brandon's doing a reprint of the Dooley shirt and the Dotson shirt for me.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping he gets some hats done for me, because I got some new style hats.
That's cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I'm gonna have for those coming out to Sparks in the Ozarks, we have a bunch of new shirts that are new over the past little while. I have some cool banners coming in.
Yep.
So I have cool banners. So yeah, but we still have one more episode, so we can talk about that stuff.
Yeah, but it's the next episode coming out before or after the show.
You're right. It's coming out after the show.
After
so
the
if you're
show,
listening to this episode, come check us out at Sparks in the Ozarks this weekend, because this is Monday.
Yep.
This weekend, we'll be in Noel, Missouri, Sparks in the Ozarks. We got new shirts. We got hats. We got banners.
Yeah, my hats, I'm going to actually put these on the – I'm going to show it to you.
Yeah, send it to me.
Let's see if I can – I'm going to actually put these on the – I'm going to have these on the website and see – how they do. Coming through Messenger right now.
All right. Here it comes. Coming down the pipe. There it is. Oh, those are cool.
So they're going to be stitched on like, they'll be stitched on like this. There's another picture coming through.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're stitched, not pressed?
Yeah, they're stitched. So that's there's a groove. Sick. There's like a line right there where the thread goes through. Dang. And those are rubber patches.
Yeah, that is so cool. Right on. And, yeah. But you're not going to have these this weekend? Or you are?
I don't know. I'm going to call Brandon. I'm going to call Brandon after this, after we
those
record
are clean,
here.
Clean, man.
Yeah, I'm like, super clean. I was like, trying to think. I'm like, I need to do something that says, and I'm going to make them stickers too, right? So like, mm-hmm. like how you did with the, with your website on it, the stickers. Yeah. So when people mm-hmm. come up, they're
the
like,
slaps.
Hey, the slaps, when people come up to the booth, they're like, what is this? And I give them a GTV and they're like,
yeah, it still doesn't explain anything.
Doesn't
Thank
explain
you.
Anything. And yeah. So I'm like, all weekend at C10s in the park, people are like, do you have any? I'm like, just take a picture of the top of the Easia and then Google that.
Titans
it comes right
of
up.
Business here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually have business cards too. They're really cool looking. And I mm-hmm. just don't.
I remember the your business cards. They're pretty
cool. The black see through ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually have these too.
And oh yeah, those are the ones you put in the packages.
Yeah. So it's like it's so easy to make business cards and cheap. I'm just
Well, you know, sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be like that. Yeah. But anyway. So, in the meantime, we're gonna be doing our giveaway October 9th is what we said. So
yeah.
That's still going on.
Yep.
Go to our websites, purchase merch, get in.
Do you have any YouTube channels that you want to shout out? Did you write anything down?
Why don't we talk about them next episode? So one, it gives us stuff to talk about, and I want to go because I've said this now for the past three episodes that I want to talk about the Car Care Nut Turbo video, but I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So yeah. But other than that, oh no, I got it over here. Well, actually, yeah, real quick one that I can shout out that was pretty cool that I came across. Two, but one is going to require some talk. We could talk about next week. But one is it's called Everhouse is the channel, and the one that I watch is this dude named Magnus Walker. He designs
Porsche tennis. Guy.
Yeah, Porsche guy.
Yeah,
yeah. So he has this place in downtown LA. It's like a warehouse that he lives in.
Yeah,
and it was like I watched it like two or three times. I'm like, this is exactly what I want in life. Imagine me living in a warehouse and like in downtown LA, just with a full of mini trucks. Like that'd be sick. So anyway. Yeah. So that was really cool. Go check that out. And then the other one that we could talk about next week is there's this guy named Alex Martini. I don't know if you heard of him. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know what he does, but he's involved in the drift world. But anyway, he made a whole video on Hoonigan's bankruptcy. So I want to talk about go in a little detail about that.
Yeah. Did he talk about it's like a restructuring thing?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But I want to get into the mud about it. So maybe we can get into that when we sit down together.
I have some interesting post podcast. About that bankruptcy thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. We know someone that they owe a lot of money to. But yeah. What was I going to... Oh, mine is my buddy Ty. He has a channel called 315 Squared. And he just bought a... He does a lot of the good guy shows, like the autocross stuff. And then he's got a cool Mercedes. And he just got a mini truck. He just got an S10.
Oh, cool.
Or a Sonoma that he bought from a guy in Sonoma, California.
Oh, really?
So he flew up there, got it, and drove it back. And then he's got another cool wagon. And his Instagram is TLYSAK. And the YouTube channel is 315 Squared. So go check him out. He has cool builds, and he does cool trucks and all that stuff. So
cool. Right on.
Yeah.
So that's this one.
I came across some questions, but we'll save them for when you come out and we record that episode.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, and if anyone else has any questions or comments or concerns,
I want the concerns. Please give us the concerns. Well, actually, no, you guys already gave us the concerns. I don't need any more.
Yeah, your concerns don't concern us.
Oh, dang. All right. Yeah,
just kidding.
No, we appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, so send us more feedback. Good or bad?
Positive.
I want to hear negative feedback too.
But we already had that. We did that. We did that.
I want to hear more.
I want some positive. I need some smoke up my butt.
I
need some positive reaffirmment. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need that.
I don't. I want to hear the negative. I want to know. I want because I have a lot to say about a lot of other people that I keep to myself.
Uh huh.
But it would be funny if I heard what people. I want to know what people think about me.
Okay.
What do you think about
Brian? Talk about what you think negative about Brian. Think about what positive about me.
I will say my negative stuff to Frank.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.